Today on Real Radio.
Jesus Christ, God Almighty, coming into this world, in my opinion, is the second most greatest power ever shown mankind. You say, Pastor, you might want to retract that. It sounds like a little bit of a heresy. Just wait.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his special Christmas series known simply as Behold. You know, when we think of the power of God, we often have a tendency to gravitate toward Genesis 1:1, the part of the scripture that tells us how the Almighty spoke the universe into existence. But if your life's been transformed through the work of the Holy Spirit, you know that His greatest of powers is found in John 3:16. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses today in a study which is part of his Christmas series. It's called Behold, the Power of God.
In John 1, verse 12, the Bible said, "And as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood." You see? Blood is amazing. Jesus says, there's something better, something bigger than blood. "Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Number two in our study tonight is this: the power of God is measurable. It's measurable. By what He has created, we can get enough data from what He's made to speak to us about eternity. And so in that case, I say to whatever degree it's measurable, and whatever that is, it's enough for us. Psalm 19, verse 1. I love this. Dare I say it's my favorite verse in the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Isn't that not true? It's amazing. "And the firmament," the way He's arranged the stars, "shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech." Isn't that interesting? "And night unto night reveals knowledge." Wow. Verse 3, "No, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." I love that. You know what it means? It means if you're an Eskimo, or if you're a Peruvian, if you're a Canadian, or if you're Japanese, or if you're in Mongolia, and you walk out of your tent and you look at the stars, it doesn't matter what language you speak. God's internal revelation of His handiwork speaks to every human being on the planet. You say, "Well, I've met people who don't believe in God." Stupid. They're stupid. They are willfully ignorant of the handiwork of God. Walk outside, look at those stars. Man, evolution rocks. You ever look at your eyeball and just look at that thing and study it? Man, evolution is so awesome. It knew just the right time. It knew I needed an eye. And it not only made one eye, it made two at the same time, side by side. And then it stopped. Okay, this is good. That's enough eye. Our mothers had eyes in the back of their head, though. That's amazing. That's amazing. All this stuff leads us to the evidence of God's existence if we just be intellectually honest. It's measurable. God's power can be measured. Light flirts with eternity. Did you know that? What is it? 186,200 and how much? What is it per second? Light travels? 186,000 what? All right, I'm getting all kinds of answers out there. It's fast, really fast. It can be bent. It can be swallowed by gravitational pulls that are profound. Lambert Dolphin and his group of physicists up at Stanford have flirted around with the possibilities of light slowing down since or over the last 5,000 years. It's Because you think of light, light's the greatest constant we know, you know? But it just begs to show you that if it's something physical, which light is, but it's weird, isn't it weird? Light's a physical property. You know, I read a book years ago, and the book is, you know, during the technological revolution, what made us better than the Russians was the argument, was the chapter. What made the United States better than the Russians? And the answer was, in the scientific community, was we were able to develop the microchip so tight, circuits, I don't know anything about electronics, so the thing that the information runs down on, whatever that thing is in the middle? We were able to cut those things so close that light couldn't pass, couldn't get in between. You had to use an electron microscope. So tight. How do you do that? And because of that, we were able to do technological advances that the other guys couldn't do until they stole it from us. It's amazing. Science never contradicts God. The power of God. And church, tonight when we're all done, I want you to think differently. When we talk about Christmas and God coming to earth, I think it is the most amazing power. Maybe, listen, can I say it this way reverently? But surely out of ignorance on my part? Jesus Christ, God Almighty, coming into this world, in my opinion, is the second most greatest power ever shown mankind. You say, Pastor, you might want to retract that. It sounds like a little bit of a heresy. Just wait. For me, I'm on this end of the deal. I think it's the second greatest power he's ever exerted to come into this world. The greatest power is that he would save me. Amen. That God, listen, do you understand? If you and I could have been saved by him snapping his finger, then he would have done that. Why didn't he do it? He could have been one who just went, he's king. Why not? Wouldn't work. What's the old hymn? There is power, there is power, there is wonder-working power. In what? In the precious blood of the Lamb. So now do you see how the physical affects the eternal? The physical speaks about something greater. If we can strap a man into a rocket and catapult him out into space, and it shakes your very being when that rocket goes off from the pad, and we go, wow, what could be greater than this? I'll tell you what's greater than that. God can do that without a rocket. It's called the rapture. One takes a rocket. One takes God going, hey, come up. Which one's more powerful? The rocket or God saying, come up here. Hey, you can strap five guys in a rocket and you got to spend all that kind of fuel. And God just shouts and who knows how many people are going to get raptured. How cool is that? It's measurable, though, is my argument. Very quickly, I'm wasting all your time doing this right now. Did you know that throughout human history, the belief in God has always been assumed until rather recently? Did you know that? Some of you are in philosophy class or whatever. Listen to this. Don't believe what I'm going to tell you. Up until recently, the existence of God was completely assumed by human beings. I think it was up until something like 150 or 180 years ago, the existence of God has come into question among some people. Kind of started during the time of the Enlightenment among some. Not all. It's my opinion, one of the greatest productions of the Enlightenment is a guy by the name of George Washington personally, Thomas Jefferson, greatest byproducts of the Enlightenment, in my opinion. They believed in God. But I think as we have come to the age in which we're in, say in the last 150 years, man has become so impressed with himself that there's no room for God. Man starts to learn. Look, the Bible warns us about learning without God as our foundation. The Bible is all for learning. Isn't that amazing? That's why the Bible's not liked in many of the Islamic world, of course, where women are forbidden to learn, for example. Education in the Western world, I say Western world, education where the Bible has been allowed, education has exploded. Why? The freedom of knowledge. Also, the honesty of it. The God of the Bible has no problem with science because he's the author of both Bibles. There's a Bible in print, and there's a Bible, so to speak, in his creation. If you read them both, they'll be in perfect harmony. Okay? But when man begins to be educated without the fear of God, it makes him mad. I don't mean angry, insane. Literally, I believe insane. His logic and his reason, his ability is skewed. And it's amazing. It's almost like it's a form of judgment where he begins to think like Nebuchadnezzar thought. Do you remember what Nebuchadnezzar's great? He's like a brilliant man. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar was a brilliant guy. But he began to think. In fact, he said it out loud. It's in the Bible. You can read it. Look at this great kingdom I have built. And God says, you arrogant person, you. And God smote him with insanity until he learned his lesson. And what was his lesson? He comes out of his lesson and he says, spoke too soon. God, the God of Daniel, the God of the Jews, is the one true God. This is a Babylonian man speaking in the land of Iraq today. He is God. Be careful. Let me tell you, the day that you become impressed with what you know, you're flirting with disaster. If you're smart, you should thank God for it. If you forget God, it's because you're very mindful of you. You've become a legend in your own mind. And that's a form of megalomania. Johann Kepler. Anybody ever heard him in science? Anybody? Yeah, good. Kepler, from the years, listen, 1571 to 1630, a brilliant mathematician and astronomer. He did early work on the attributes of light and discovered the laws of planetary motion. He nearly discovered the Newtonian concept of universal gravity well before Newton was ever born. He discovered the concept of force as it applies to astronomy. Kepler was an extremely sincere and pious Christian whose works on astronomy often contained writings about how space, time, and the celestial bodies represented the Trinity of God. You ever heard of a guy who lived from 1642 to 1727 by the name of Isaac Newton? Sir Isaac Newton wrote commentaries on the Bible. I happen to own his book of Daniel, commentary. In Principia, he stated, quote, Isaac Newton, the most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could have only proceeded from the counsel and dominion of an all-intelligent and all-powerful being, Isaac Newton. A guy who's often overlooked in this area because he wasn't a born-again Christian. He was not, but he wasn't an atheist either. From 1879 to 1955, Albert Einstein is probably the most well-known, most highly revered scientist of the 20th century. He recognized, quote, I'm quoting now, the impossibility of a non-created universe, close quote. The Encyclopedia of Britannica says of him that he firmly denied atheism. Quote, Albert Einstein, I want to know how God created this world. I am not interested in this or that phenomenon. In the spectrum of this or that element, I want to know his thoughts. The rest are details. Isn't that great? Close quote. Albert Einstein. Einstein's famous epithet on the, quote, uncertainty principle, close quote, was this, quote, God does not play dice, close quote. I quote him again, science without religion is lame and religion without science is blind. I love it. We're going to show you a clip. Listen very carefully. Very carefully to how this gentleman states his argument. This is the author of The Language of God, a scientist presents evidence for belief. This is Dr. Francis Collins, still alive today, was a famous atheist, and he, a brilliant man, changes his, or pursues a second doctorate. He goes from his scientific engineering doctorate to wanting to become a medical doctor, and in that course, he encounters God. Watch this.
Why? You were not a believer early in your life. Why?
It was the way I was raised. I was raised in this remarkable environment by a drama professor, father, and a playwright mother, surrounded by theater, music, the arts. They were doing the 60s thing, except it wasn't quite the 60s yet. And I was exposed to all kinds of fascinating ways to learn about life and the world and ideas. But faith was not really on the list of things that were talked about. It wasn't that faith was put down or considered inappropriate for other people. It just didn't sort of enter the conversation in my childhood.
Did it exist in your mind as a question?
Oh, I had glimmers of something, some longing outside of myself, some sense that maybe there was a God up there that I might be able to reach out to.
What brought you as an adult then to faith?
Well, first, as an adult, I walked very far away from faith. I went from being sort of vaguely interested, but not really, to becoming an atheist. As a scientist studying physical chemistry, quantum mechanics, I became convinced that everything about the universe could be described by equations.
So what changed that for you?
Well, I changed my life plan from physical science to medicine. And when I went to medical school, the ideas about death and dying, which had been rather hypothetical, became very real. You can't be in that environment, sitting at the bedside of people who are facing the end of their lives, without having it affect you.
Did you set out to find God? Or to find that there was no God?
I set out to prove that my atheist position was correct. I set out to try to find out what really were the rigorous arguments that I assumed were there that would rule out any possibility of God for a thinking person.
You must have found many of them.
I found some. Many of them were ones I had cooked up in my own mind. But the harder I looked at them, the flimsier they were. All of us human beings have a sense that there is such a thing as right and there's such a thing as wrong. What a curious thing. Where does that come from? If you were looking for evidence of a God who cares about human beings, not just a God who started the universe in motion and then wandered off somewhere else, wouldn't this be an interesting place to find him? Basically, as something written within our hearts, universally in humankind, making us different from other species, and calling us to be good and holy, pointing us as a signpost, if you will, towards something outside ourselves that is much more good and much more holy than we can imagine.
Did you have at some point a born-again experience?
When people talked to me about born again, I didn't know what they were really referring to when I was growing up. But yes, I did have a moment where I became a believer. I had struggled for 2 years with this debate within myself, gradually coming to the conclusion that belief in God was the most plausible of the choices, but that it couldn't be proved. And after many months of struggling with whether to make that leap, on a beautiful fall day hiking in the Northwest with my mind a little more clear than usual because there were not the usual distractions, I felt I could no longer resist. And I became a believer that day in the sunshine and the shadow of the Cascade Mountains.
Did you hear how look how he started to light up about that. He remembers the day, the sunny day. It was in the northern Pacific and everything about it. It's beautiful, isn't it? Have you had that experience? I'm not talking about hiking in the Cascades. But God will often use physical things in life to bring you to the knowledge of Christ. And the God that you believe in matters. There's a lot of gods out there, you know. The difference is about the God of the Bible, he's never been created. All the other gods have been imagined in the minds of men. They've been created for a man's purpose, not the God of the Bible. A lot of people believe in a lot of things, but I'm asking you tonight to make sure that your faith is in this God of Christmas. I was talking to somebody, I won't mention their particular religion because I don't want to offend them tonight, but they were telling me about how great their God is. Their God's the greatest. Their God's the greatest. I said, really? I knew something about their made-up God that they didn't know. At least they didn't think. I said, you just told me a moment ago your God can do anything. He can do anything. Can he come down and talk to humans? Of course. Can he walk with people and talk with people? No, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do it. Why? He, where he's at and where we are, he cannot intermix. So your God cannot do everything. What do you mean? So, well, my God walked in Genesis in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. Your God can't. And then after Adam and Eve blew the whole show, instead of leaving them to die and rot in hell forever, he veils himself in human skin, is born into this world to pay the price that they could never pay themselves out of, to redeem them. And so don't say your God can do everything and anything. Your God is made up. Your God is relatively new on the scene. My God's eternal. And my God is so resilient and so able that he invaded humanity because by virtue of his profound love. And he's so holy that he could walk through the cesspool of humanity and not be polluted by it. He doesn't have to be defended, and he doesn't even have to defend himself. That's something you view, my friend, as a weakness. But it's only because you don't know such power. If you are the Son of God, come down and save yourself, and then we will believe in you, said the Pharisees. I believe it was Satan speaking through the Pharisees. Jesus never opened his mouth in defense. Why? Because listen, he was in our place. He had nothing to say to defend you except his blood and the power of God. He was God in our place. And if you're not worshiping the God of the Bible, you worship him and you are children of a lesser God. And you're in great peril tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at the life-transforming power of Almighty God. Behold, the power of God. That's the title of this lesson, Behold, the power of God. It's part of Pastor Jack's special Christmas series we're taking a look at this week, here on Real Radio. The series is simply called Behold. Behold is a Christmas series, but you can already tell that it's something that you can listen to, and it can really make a big difference in your life any time of the year. It's chock full of scripture, and it takes a look at one of the most riveting chapters in the greatest story ever told, Messiah being born into the world. Now here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Behold for your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio for any amount. Just be sure that whether you call, click, or write, you ask for it by name. One simple word, Behold. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right away where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like the traditional way, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Mention it by name, Behold, the 5-DVD series by Pastor Jack. Our phone number, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all this contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.